This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, while the Senate may be on the verge of preserving Obamacare through its failure to repeal it, the House could be on the verge of advancing an Obama-era policy that will forever change our military. Colorado Congressman Doug Lamborn will be here with the details in just a moment. And the media is rushing to conclusions yet again. Was Donald Trump Jr.'s meeting with a Russian attorney treason, as Senator Tim Kaine suggests? We'll talk about it. Also, David DeLeiden, the man who pulled back the curtain on Planned Parenthood's trafficking in aborted baby body parts, and his attorneys have been found in contempt of court by a federal judge for releasing their undercover video. David DeLeiden joins me with the latest. And President Trump has nominated 23 judicial candidates. Want to guess how many the Senate has confirmed in 6 months? Kurt Levy, president of the Committee for Justice, will be here later with the answer. The website, TonyPerkins.com. You can find out all types of stuff there at the website. And in fact, if you miss anything on your way home, well, it's all archived. You can check it out later, TonyPerkins.com. Oh, by the way, up there as well, an invitation for you to join us in Israel next spring, April 17th through the 27th. Information there at the website, TonyPerkins.com. If you'd like to go with us, it's really a unique tour of Israel. We take in all the historical, biblical aspects, but also the geopolitical. Fascinating tour. Our last one was over the top. Well, you can be a part of it. Find out more. Go to TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, at TPerkins. All right, there's lots of activity on the Hill this week. It's a very, very, very busy week. I was up on the Hill earlier today meeting with members in the Senate regarding health care and other issues. But the problem is, still unable to agree on the replacement language. The Senate may fail to repeal Obamacare and send it into hospice care. It's dying, but they may not repeal it. In the House, the major funding bill for the Department of Defense, the NDAA, could be advanced and solidify an Obama-era radical social policy if Republicans fail to act. Joining us now is Congressman Doug Lamborn of Colorado. He represents Colorado's 5th Congressional District, and he serves as a ranking member on the high-ranking member on the House Armed Services Committee. Doug, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, it's always great to be on your show and talk with you and your listeners.
I want to start first with health care because you've been very vocal on this. In fact, you led the effort with about 70 of your colleagues in communicating to members of the Senate that it's a non-starter if the Senate does not preserve the language that the House had in the bill regarding the issue of taxpayer funding of abortion.
Well, that's exactly right. The House had really good language defunding Planned Parenthood. And what we do with that money, because we want women's health care to be addressed and taken care of, is we say that money will go to community health centers. And community health centers are much more numerous in our country, Tony. There are 14,000 of them around the country versus 600-some Planned Parenthood clinics. So they're 20-some times more accessible and available. Plus, they have actual doctors, MDs, on duty, unlike Planned Parenthood. And the difference being, though, from a life perspective, is that community health clinics that receive federal money do not do abortions, and they don't do abortion referrals. And that's a preservation of the sanctity of life, number one. And it's what the great majority of taxpayers in this money, in this country, want to do with their hard-earned money. They don't want it going to abortion.
Yeah, that's overwhelming. I mean, that's a even for those who, you know, on a quote unquote support abortion or think people have a right to abortion, still don't want tax dollars going to it. And that it appears that the defunding of Planned Parenthood is safe in the Senate bill, but there's questions about whether or not the tax dollars that are flowing through the Obamacare tax credits will be prohibited from, in fact, it appears that they will not be prohibited from funding coverage for abortion. What happens if this bill comes back? I'm assuming, or I shouldn't assume, but let's say that the Senate is able to get together, and that's in question right now. In fact, let me start with that. What's the latest you're hearing from your Senate colleagues about the status of the bill? We're hearing there's going to be the Senate Majority Leader saying there's going to be a vote next week, but yet we've not seen language.
Well, the Senate Majority Leader also said that they're going to work a couple extra weeks in August, unlike previous plan, to make sure that that gets addressed, although they're behind on nominations and other things as well, because of Democrat obstructionism, frankly. Tony, we'll have another public version of the latest bill tomorrow, and then it's going to be scored by CBO the following week. Although I don't put a lot of stock in CBO, they've been so wrong on predictions about Obamacare previously. But anyway, that's the latest schedule, and I'm waiting to see what the latest version is. And they're having a lot of issues. Life and Planned Parenthood and the funding of it is one issue, but they're also dealing with Medicaid expansion,
right,
with the opioid crisis, and how to make premiums affordable. Healthcare is so complex, and of course, because Democrats will not work with Republicans on this, you have to have the reconciliation process, which is you can't address policy. You can only do budget work in a right. reconciliation bill, so it's much more limited. So yeah. I'm waiting, frankly, with you and everyone else to see what the next version is tomorrow.
And, of course, the president has been on record in the last 2 weeks saying if the Senate can't come together on the replacement language, just go with the 2015 repeal that already passed the Senate and was vetoed by President Obama. That simply will allow them to come back at another time and replace it, which I think actually may be a cleaner way to go about this, given the conflict they're having on the language. Let me go back to the House side, and let's talk about something that's actually working its way onto the House floor. You guys may be already debating it, and that is the National Defense Authorization Act. You're a member of the House Armed Services Committee. One of the issues that's come to the forefront, I mean, there's going to be about 300 amendments that the committee looked at, the Rules Committee. I don't know how many will ultimately make it to the floor, but one of those deals with the expenditure of federal tax dollars for sex change operations under the Obama-era policy that not only allows people to serve openly as transgender, but would recruit those individuals into the military. That was delayed for 6 months by the current department, Secretary of the Department of Defense. But still, we now will see funding for these surgeries, which could ultimately be somewhere between $2 to $4 billion over a 10-year period. Is Congress going to stop that?
I sure hope so, Tony. I'm working with people like Vicki Hartzler, who's been a real leader on this issue, and others. She's subcommittee chairman on the committee for oversight and investigations and has really studied this issue and is a great leader. And we have so many unanswered questions. What do you do about housing? What do you do about the medical costs that you just brought up a second ago? What do you do about deployment? You know, someone who is receiving major treatment, drug treatment, hormone treatment, et cetera, is not able to get those kinds of treatments and medicines and chemicals and pharmaceuticals in a place like Afghanistan. You just can't do that. And so you're automatically not deployable. And that seems to fly in the face of one basic requirement for people in the military. So we just have so many arguments and so many things don't fit with military regulations and laws that Barack Obama and his people basically deliberately overlooked, I think, in my opinion.
Well, you were on the Armed Services Committee during most of Barack Obama's tenure as president. Let me ask you this one question. When you look at the military and you look at what the military needs to be successful in their mission, there's a funding crisis. When it comes to our military, the equipment they need, the supplies they need, under sequestration, the reduction of military spending. Our military's in bad shape.
Well, we're digging out of a hole, and it was not funded properly. Things like missile defense were slashed. Budgets were slashed. And you look at what North Korea is doing with wanting to develop intercontinental ballistic missiles. They had a test of that about a week ago, and they want to put nuclear weapons on those, miniaturized nuclear warheads on those missiles to reach the United States, and they threaten the United States. We live in a increasingly dangerous world, so now's not the time to cut technology like missile defense, Tony. And it's not the time to cut the end strength, the size of the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, which Barack Obama was beginning to draw down those numbers. So it is a tight budget in that there's many demands and many priorities, but I think national defense is the number one priority when you look at life in this world, when you look at what the Constitution says. And so we do make a big step toward restoring some of that funding, but it's not going to happen overnight. And the dollars aren't there to do everything that we would like, but we're making a big step.
So, Congressman Lamborn, with that understanding that there's limited resources and we're trying to dig ourselves out of a hole, do we have the luxury of wasting money on these transgender surgeries, of letting people to have the government pay for them to change their body parts?
I don't see where we have that money, Tony. And at a minimum, we need to study this issue and not go forward unless the secretary can justify that this is good for our defense of our country.
Yeah, I think you'll have a hard time doing that.
I would think so. So we want to make sure that it gets studied properly at a minimum. So that's the kind of amendment that we are working on right now, and we do begin the debate tonight.
All right. Well, we'll be watching very, very closely. Congressman Doug Lamborn, thanks so much for joining us.
Talk to you soon.
All right. Take care. Okay, folks, this is where you come in. This is where we need to act, okay? So get ready. Let me give you the phone number, 202-224-3121. That's the Congressional Switchboard. I'm going to give you some names of members of Congress who need to be touched, who need to be called, who need to be told that, look, we have limited resources for our military. We don't need to be spending it on transgender surgeries. All right, 202-224-3121, and we're going to be up against a break here in a moment, but I'll get through these through the show. But I'll start in California. We've got listeners in California. Congressman Jeff Denham. We have in Illinois, John Shimpkus, Adam Kinzinger, Rodney Davis, in Indiana, Susan Brooks. In Iowa, we've got David Young, Justin Amash in Michigan. Some of you listening there, that he's your congressman. Tom Reed in New York, Greg Walden in Oregon. I'm going to go back through that list through the course of the program, but folks, you need to start dialing. 202-224-3121. That's the number to call. All right, when we come back, a judge says a pro-life investigator and his attorneys are in contempt of court for releasing video footage exposing Planned Parenthood. He joins us next.
What does a children's playground have to do with the Supreme Court? A lot. In April 2017, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments in a case of religious discrimination against Missouri's Trinity Lutheran Church. Trinity has an adjacent playground that needed refurbishing, so the staff applied for a Missouri grant program. In an odd twist, state officials denied Trinity's request. When the church asked why, they were told the state constitution barred the public treasury from aiding any church, section, or denomination of religion. That hardly seemed fair to the church, whose children at the daycare and preschool need just as much outdoor padding as other school children. This is just one of hundreds of religious liberty violations that have occurred in the United States, and FRC is at the forefront of the movement to preserve, protect, and defend religious liberty. In a newly updated publication, we catalog the growing threat to religious liberty with a comprehensive report of documented accounts of religious liberty violations that have occurred in the last 17 years. Go to frc.org/hostility for this exclusive publication.
So, what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23, now available in Montana. 855-PSALM-23.
Your mission is to find Granny and get that sauce.
Affirmative.
1 million moms, in association with American Family Studios, introduces Ryan DeFrades' Secret Agent.
I'm Ryan DeFrades. I work alone.
Ryan is arrogant and reckless until the day he's paired with a very unlikely partner.
No way! I can do this alone, without anyone's help, much less my mom's.
Look, Ryan.
She's my mom!
Ryan DeFrades' Secret Agent is the new action-adventure series featuring a young spy with a whole lot to learn.
Mama's coming, sweetie!
She's an agent! Get her, boys!
Each exciting, fun-filled episode teaches children important values, like honoring parents and respecting authority. And there's a brief wrap-up at the end that connects the story to a biblical illustration. Ryan DeFrades' Secret Agent. Perfect for children ages 6 and over. Order yours today at ryansecretagent.com.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at tperkins. All right, let me give you that switchboard number to the Capitol Hill again, 202-224-3121. Jot that. You should commit that to memory or have it on speed dial on your phone. All right. A federal judge said Tuesday that he will hold pro-life activist David Dalyden and his attorneys in contempt of court for publishing their videos, David's videos, of a National Abortion Federation annual meeting for violating an injunction. Now, joining us now is David Dalyden. He's the producer of the videos exposing Planned Parenthood and its callous conversations about selling aborted baby body parts. And by the way, let me just say, folks, that the reason we are actually discussing right now the defunding of Planned Parenthood in large part is because of these videos. And so the left is doing everything they can to try to stop this information from getting to the public. David Dalyden, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. It's great to be back on with you.
Well, it looks like we're living in a time when exposing the truth is can get you in trouble.
It's pretty outrageous what's going on here in our country and what's going on specifically here in California, which is where I'm blessed to live, although I guess also blessed to be very persecuted right now. I and CMP and my fellow investigators at CMP did in recording undercover videos of Planned Parenthood senior level leadership callously negotiating the harvesting and sale of aborted baby body parts isn't any different from what local news journalists do here in the state of California every single day on our local news stations. And yet somehow I'm being prosecuted for that right now by the Attorney General of the state of California, but these other journalists are not. Why? The only difference is that I went after and exposed the sacred cows of the political establishment here in California, Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry. That is the only difference, is whose ox is being gored in these videos. And that's why the prosecution against me and the different lawsuits from Planned Parenthood and the National Abortion Federation, all of that, they're not based on legal reasons. They're based on political reasons. And yeah, that's one of the reasons why it's so egregious.
It is. I mean, you look at these, you know, in today's world, there's a lot of investigative reporters. I mean, look at Michael Moore. That's how he made a name for himself, is doing things like this. Of course, he kind of well, created some of his material, but yours, you have people speaking for themselves, Planned Parenthood, other clinics that are trafficking in these aborted baby body parts. And let me say this too. You've got some really good attorneys representing you. And so when I think they tell you that, hey, this stuff needs to get out there, I'm thinking you're on pretty good legal ground and you've got a good legal case to make with this gag order put on you by the judge.
That's true. So we do have, I'm very fortunate to have the representation in my criminal legal defense from Steve Cooley and Associates. Steve Cooley was the longtime district attorney of Los Angeles County for many, many years. He and his associate Brent Ferreira are just top-notch legal experts, and so I'm not too worried on that front. I think that we're really fortunate to have them. But the big thing that we're up against here is that because the case that Planned Parenthood and their allies and the California Attorney General's office are bringing is overall legally such a weak case, they're relying on is the input of a highly biased, very deeply tied to Planned Parenthood federal judge, Judge William Orrick, who's the judge in the civil lawsuits from Planned Parenthood and NAF. And they're relying on him to basically put his thumb on the scales in the criminal case and try and skew it so that my lawyers and myself can't even use the videotape. The same videotape that the Attorney General is relying on as evidence for the prosecution, Judge Orrick is trying to say that we can't use those in my defense because of his gag order. And so it's this crazy catch-22 star chamber medieval-style prosecution where they want to have anonymous witnesses, they want to allow the prosecution to use the evidence, but they don't want to allow me and my lawyers to use the evidence. And so that's basically what happened yesterday, is that Judge Orrick, who, by the way, used to help run and help establish a Planned Parenthood clinic in San Francisco, which is where a lot of this was taking place, he promised and represented to us in the courtroom yesterday that he is not trying to interfere in the proceedings in the criminal case or interfere with my criminal defense, but he and his cronies are doing exactly that when they're saying that we're not allowed to use the exact same videos publicly in my defense or otherwise. We're not allowed to use the exact same videos that the Attorney General is relying on to prosecute me. So it's this crazy way that this federal judge in a civil lawsuit who has deep ties to Planned Parenthood is stepping into the middle of this state criminal proceeding under a separate sovereignty, under a separate legal proceeding, and really in a much more serious situation. You know, this is my defense in a criminal case, and he's trying to tell everybody how to do their job and what arguments we're allowed to make and what evidence we're allowed to put on and what we're not allowed to do. So it's crazy. I mean, this is really Soviet-style persecution, all at the bidding of Planned Parenthood to protect their abortion empire.
To me, it represents all that's wrong in our judicial system. This is an appalling abuse of power, in my view. And I don't know if this is the case, but I'm thinking by you guys posting that video and putting this out there is basically draw attention to say, hey, folks, look what's happening here. We have this federal judge that is clearly out of line. And if this can happen here to me for simply telling the truth, it can't stop. It can go anywhere.
That's true. And, you know, and what we're also doing, we're certainly not taking this lying down because Judge Orrick, this federal judge appointed by Barack Obama in 2013, has such deep ties to Planned Parenthood historically, and it appears to be ongoing ties to them, ties to the very exact same Planned Parenthood affiliate that is a named plaintiff in his courtroom right now suing me. So he's not really a judge in this case. He's kind of a party. He's kind of a member of the plaintiff. That's how close he is to them.
Wow.
So we still have a pending motion to disqualify him because of his extensive ties to Planned Parenthood. And yet he and the National Abortion Federation, who are, you know, close allies and really proxies of Planned Parenthood, they were pushing ahead with this contempt proceeding yesterday, even though we've still got this outstanding motion that's pending to disqualify him on account of his extreme bias and prejudice and conflict of interest for the plaintiffs.
Incredible. David, we're going to have to leave it there. We're up against a break, but we're going to track this closely and going to have you back on soon. Folks, don't go away. On the other side of the break, the president has made 23 judicial nominations. How many have been confirmed?
Making the most of your money, here's Dan Celia.
Small business sentiment came out. It did fall a little bit, pretty much meeting expectations. It fell 9 points of 1%. Not bad. Not a bad fall at all. We're at 103.6. Things are still very good and very confident. As a matter of fact, 33% of those businesses surveyed said they expect the economy to continue to improve and to improve. And 30% of the small businesses surveyed indicated that they are planning on making capital outlays this year. 30% were positive on current job openings, and 21% said it's a very good time for them because of what they expect in the economy to begin to expand. So overall, it's a good number, and that's something that we watch very closely. Janet Yellen said that she thinks that second quarter GDP is going to rebound from the first quarter of 1.5%. She also indicated that they expect continual gradual rate increases. Of course, there are an awful lot very closely watching the testimony of Janet Yellen. Oil, well, it's expected to increase. 8.1 billion barrel decrease again. Now, that's according to API. We'll see what EIA's number looks like. But API down 8.1%. Some are calling once again for $50 a barrel oil before the end of the summer. I am not in that camp. Maybe before the end of the year even.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
To Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. All right, the website, TonyPerkins.com. Okay. One of the things I discussed Monday when I was at the White House were the president's federal judicial nominees. Some stellar candidates, as we've already seen with the Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch, whose his opinions are, well, they're good. Okay, I put it that way. They're really good. The president has recommended 23 federal judicial nominees. He's sent 23 to the Senate. Do you want to know how many have been confirmed? Take a guess. Go ahead, take a guess. Guess. Two. I know they had vote maybe last night on one, so it might be up to three. Who's blocking these conservative nominees? And how can it be overcome? Well, joining us now is Kurt Levy. He is the president of the Committee for Justice, an organization devoted to promoting the rule of law and a constitutionalist judiciary. And he is a veteran of a number of Supreme Court confirmation battles. Kurt, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony, and thanks for your work over the years on the issue of judicial nominations. You've been one of the leaders there.
Well, I appreciate that, and so have you, and that's why I have you on the program, because I want to ask you the question, why are we not seeing more of these nominees confirmed?
Well, I think, the answer lies in probably the same reason that we aren't seeing a lot out of the Trump administration. I think the Democrats are set on all obstruction all the time, and the Republicans are probably not quite being as helpful as they could be. Now, to be fair, it's early on. The first nominations came just a few months ago, and sometimes these things do get dragged out, but the lack of blue slips being returned by the Democratic senators certainly points towards them trying to obstruct. Now, to be fair,
hey, let me stop you there, Kurt.
Again, there'll be a nominee that the Democrats are particularly unhappy with, but they seem to be unhappy with all the nominees so far. If you look at the lack of blue slips,
yeah, I want you to explain blue slips to our listeners. Okay, sometimes in here in the Beltway, we use terms that people don't quite understand. So, explain blue slips.
No, fair enough. It's basically a method for giving home state senators, that is the two senators from the state that the nominee is affiliated with, some input. So until they return their so-called blue slips, a hearing is not held. Now, this is not a constitutional rule or even a statutory rule. It's a gentleman's agreement that's mostly been honored over the years that the chairman of the Judiciary Committee does not hold hearings till he gets the two blue slips. But again, the process depends on you know, good faith on all sides, and if it's going to be abused, then it's not going to be followed.
So to date, as of yesterday, no Senate Democrats have actually returned these blue slips.
That's right.
So, I mean, it's hard to say they're wanting to work with this administration when not a single one has returned their blue slips. And you look at a comparison between Trump's nominees and President Obama's nominees. There's a big contrast between how the Senate dealt with President Obama's nominees and how they're dealing with Trump's.
You know, there's been, going back to, you know, Robert Bork, perhaps, and certainly back to the second President Bush, there's been, you know, this has been very politicized, the judicial nomination and confirmation process, and there's been some obstruction. But if the Democrats appear to want to engage in obstruction on a scale that we haven't seen before. And, you know, if they do, they're going to lose, frankly. As you know, the judicial filibuster is gone. So the only thing they really have are these blue slips. And if they abuse that, I believe that's going to be gone, too, as a gentleman's agreement. So I think at the end of the day, it's going to be like with Gorsuch. Trump will get most or all of his nominees through. But the Democrats feel that, you know, as we saw with Gorsuch, even if it's futile, that they should resist at all costs. I don't know if they're doing it, you know, just for show for the base, or they really have some strategy that I don't know.
Well, there are quite a few vacancies to be filled, and over the course of the next 3.5 years, the president may have upwards of 400 of these nominations to make, and this is going to have a lasting effect upon the nation. So that's one of the reasons I think the Democrats are fighting tooth and nail to keep him from being successful.
Well, you've got a good point. There is an unusually high number of vacancies. We're up around 140 or so. Right now, you know, a more typical figure would be 80. So there is the immediate impact that Trump could have. Now, he hasn't nominated people for all of these yet. That's
right.
A slow process. But as you pointed out, he's nominated a couple of dozen. But if he really could appoint 400, you know, that's about half of the federal judiciary. That would be enough to flip the federal judiciary from leaning Democrat or liberal to leaning Republican or conservative. And since most cases do not get decided by the Supreme Court, they get decided by the lower courts, it's very important to have control of the lower courts, that is to have a conservative majority. I think we saw with the travel ban case
exactly.
How much mischief even district courts can do.
Exactly.
So we can't just focus on the Supreme Court.
Absolutely. Kurt Levy, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate all the good work you do on the judiciary in this country.
And again, I appreciate your work for more than a decade on this issue.
All right. Thanks so much, Kurt. Good to talk with you. Kurt Levy, president of the Committee for Justice. Find out more. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Folks, I'm telling you, at every turn, this president is being stymied. And I'm going to talk about one of those when we come back. I'm going to talk about his son, Donald Trump Jr., and all the news you've seen about that in the last 48 hours. That and your phone calls coming up next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Hello, I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to Israel in March, and we'd love for you to come along with us. You know, one of the frequent questions I get when I talk about our trip to the Holy Land, people say to me, Tim, is it safe to go on your trip? To which I respond, you know, we won't be in New York but a few hours. So we're going to Israel. Israel is a safe or safer than any other place in the world. They take their security very, very seriously. So if you'd like to join us as we see Jerusalem and Bethlehem and the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee and the Jordan River, and all the other places you've read about since you were a child in the Bible, we'd love to have you join us. For more information, go to the website twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com. Or for our brochure, call 800-FAMILIES. That's 800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, option 5.
I want to say congratulations to the American Family Association on 40 years of ministry.
Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council.
I cannot imagine what America would look like had the American Family Association not been here. I greatly appreciate Don Wildman's vision and his son Tim for carrying that vision forward. So join me in congratulating them on 40 years of ministry, serving the Lord, and serving America.
You can be among the first to receive updates about changes and special events coming up in our programming and always keep up with the things you might have missed with American Family Radio's weekly newsletter. Every Friday, you'll receive an email with a recap of the week's highlights from your favorite broadcasts, as well as important information about special programs in the near future. Go to AFR.net to sign up today and never miss another update. Add yourself to our mailing list and stay in the loop at AFR.net.
Hi, this is Dan Celia from Financial Issues. You know, the charitable gift annuity concept is more important today than probably ever. It is something that you have heard me talk about for many, many years. And right now, for now, the tax code is still allowing charitable organizations to establish a charitable gift annuity so that you can be guaranteed permanent income for the rest of your life. Don't waste any time. So many of you have IRAs, 401k money. Peel off a piece of that. Establish your charitable gift annuity so that you have a portion of permanent income that you know is never going to change for the rest of your life. Would you do it today? Call AFA Foundation, 800-326-4543. Extension 345. That's 800-326-4543. Extension 345.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website is tonyperkins.com. Okay. I'm sure you've been tracking this. That is in the last 48 hours, the news about Donald J. Trump Jr. a year ago during the campaign meeting with a Russian attorney. And, of course, the left going crazy regarding this. Look, if this were to take place today. In fact, he was on an interview last night with Hannity saying, you know, look, if I had to do over again, I wouldn't have had the meeting. He said nothing came of the meeting. He said, I got a call, said they had information about Hillary Clinton. It's unreasonable to think that Donald Trump Jr., who was a political novice at the time working on his dad's campaign, would respond any differently than he did at the time to the offer of information about Hillary Clinton. Now, I've been in politics for over two decades. And I know from experience that there are all kinds of people who reach out and offer to hand over incriminating details about the opposition. Now, getting that intel on an opponent isn't necessarily for the purpose of using it publicly, but rather strategically, knowing what your opponent is willing to do, who they associate with, and what they've done. Some information you get is legitimate and helpful. A lot of it's not. I mean, I've had people deliver stuff in envelopes at my door with all kinds of information regarding my opponent, and I've had people come to my office. I mean, look, it happens, okay? And especially when you're new in politics, and I wasn't, you know, there was a time when I was new in politics, and I was like, wow, as you become more aware of the political environment. And, you know, prior to me running for office, I had never been involved in politics. And there's nothing to suggest that Donald Trump Jr. should have any greater knowledge of politics a year ago than anybody listening to this program. So he meets with this attorney, and he himself says there was really nothing there, and so we didn't do anything with it. Now, let me just remind you that there had been stories circulating about Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton and the Russians. You know, when she was Secretary of State, she oversaw and voted in favor of approving handing over one-fifth of the U.S. Uranium to Russia. Bill Clinton gave a $500,000 speech in Russia. Her foundation received $2.3 million from a Russian-controlled company, which, by the way, was not disclosed. So if you want to talk about criminal activity. But so all of this is going on, and somebody from Russia says, hey, we've got some information that the government has that you might be interested in. Now, if this were to happen today, knowing what Russia was doing, it'd be a whole different story. But you have to be careful not to judge a decision of a year ago based upon the knowledge of today. Now we know that Russia was meddling in our elections. They were trying to do certain things. And they've been playing dirty. We know that now. Did not know that a year ago. So the media is unhinged in going after anything and everything related to Donald Trump. Now they're going after his kids for their involvement in the campaign and so on and so forth. Look, we'll see what this comes to. I just wonder, you know, the media apparently has two different playbooks. They have a playbook for Republicans and a playbook for Democrats. When it's Republicans, it's, you know, Katie bar the door. When it's the Democrats, it's turned the other way. I mean, did the media ever pursue this type of stuff with the Obama administration? Fast and furious, the fact that the attorney general is held in contempt of Congress. Anyway, I just caution you again to be careful about what you believe in the media and the spin that the media puts on it. In fact, there was a report a month or so ago from our friends at MRC looking at the first 6 months of the coverage the media had of President Trump. 89% of it was negative. 89%. You almost have to just ignore the media when it comes to the Trump administration. They cannot say anything that – it doesn't matter what the president does. Now, again, I don't support everything he does. I think – but I support a lot of what he does. But the media is out to stop him. There is the media and liberals – are in coordinated fashion trying to stop the president. And so I wonder, do you think that? Or do you think I'm wrong? Do you think it just happens that they're just reporting what's happening and all this is fair game? Or do you think there is a coordinated effort to stop this president and keep him from being successful? What do you think? Give me a call. 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. And while you're calling in, let me go back to my list of members of Congress that you need to talk to about this funding for transgender operations, taking scarce military dollars instead of buying bullets and bombs, they want to buy body parts for transgenders. I mean, we're talking based upon some conservative estimates over a 10-year period, anywhere from $2 to $4 billion. That's a lot of money. That could pay for one Navy destroyer or about 22 fighter jets. Is this what we want to do with our money? Anyway, that's going to be voted on the House floor most likely tonight. So here are some members of Congress that either are opposed or are yet to commit to supporting using tax dollars going to the military for military purposes, for defense purposes. Jeff Denham, California, 10th District. David Young in Iowa, 3rd District. John Shimkus in Illinois, Adam Kinzinger, also in Illinois, and Rodney Davis in Illinois. All right, so if one of those names rings familiar, it's somebody you need to call. Susan Brooks from Indiana. Bruce Poliquin from Maine. Justin Amash from Michigan. Tom Reed from New York. Elise Stefanik from New York. And Greg Walden of Oregon. You need to call those folks. 202-224-3121. Call now. Certainly call before midnight tonight. Okay. 866-372-7234. Let's go to William in Arkansas. William, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello.
Yeah, go right ahead, William.
I was just going to say you're spot on with the media giving the Trumps bad press. I mean, it doesn't matter what he does. It's never right. And you know, it's just totally unfair. CNN, from what I understand, they're pretty much losing their sponsorship and their listening audience.
Well, and as they should. And here's another thing, folks. We shouldn't listen. Well, you shouldn't watch them. I don't watch them. And we have to. I've had this conversation with many. Is that we just have to, and that's one of the reasons we have Washington Watch, is to basically circumvent the media and take the newsmakers and the issues straight to the people, especially now Donald Trump, and he acknowledges again Monday when I was in the Oval Office, he acknowledges, every time I see him, he says this, it's the evangelicals. It's the evangelicals that helped me win. And he has not forgotten that, which is rare, because oftentimes these politicians forget who helped them into office. And so he understands the strategic nature of continuing that relationship, and he knows he's got to communicate directly with them. So, William, that's one of the reasons I'm glad you're listening to Washington Watch. Invite some friends to listen as well. All right, let's go to Mary in Kansas. Mary, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi. I just wanted to let you know that the only thing I believe is when I listen to the programs on bots, radio, because the media is really after Donald Trump, not President Trump. And I just hope that Obama has a good padded chair when he's laughing so hard as what his people are doing against President Trump. When he falls over, he won't get hurt. But, and also, I called the 202 number you requested, that suggested, and I let them know that if you're healthy enough to go to the war zone, okay, come into the service no matter what your sex is, but if you cannot be healthy enough to go to the war zone like anybody else and you have to have special treatment, then you shouldn't be coming into the service.
Mm-hmm. And that's what happens. When you have these surgeries, you're non-deployable for a certain period of time, and that's taking up a billet, and an unusable billet at that point. So it's handicapping our military. Mary, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening, and thank you for calling Congress as well. All right, let's go to Missouri, where Martin is on the line. Martin, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. I just wanted to comment on your what you were asking a few minutes ago about do we think the Democrats and the media are working together. I agree with you 100% on that. And not only that, I believe that academia and Hollywood are working with the Democrats, too.
Yeah, I think you're right. No question. And folks, and I can verify this. Been about 10 years ago, but I wrote my first book that I wrote, Personal Faith, Public Policy. I defended the media. Okay. I defended, in fact, spoke glowingly about CNN at that point. Now, in full disclosure, I was a television reporter years ago, and I have a respect for the media. I think they have a role to play. But I have watched in the last decade how the media has gone from, you know, there's always, I mean, you cannot expect someone to leave their worldview behind, and that's the problem with the media's long head, is you just got liberals in the media. But many of them kept that in check, and they tried to stick to the facts. That objectivity, that objectiveness has just been thrown out. They don't even try anymore. I mean, you watch CNN. You don't even worry about MSNBC, but you watch CNN. And first off, see how many conservatives are on there. You won't find many. but they openly mock and attack the president. I'm concerned even about the quote-unquote conservative television media. They're tracking leftward. It's becoming much more difficult to get information on all the issues that affect you and your family from a straight reporting aspect. Now, obviously here, this comes with commentary, but that's why I bring you the newsmakers. And they can speak for themselves. I don't censor them. I let them speak freely. But we clearly come at this from a Christian worldview. And I make no apologies about that. And I hope that's what you want. How do these news items, how do we look at these from the standpoint of biblical truth? Because I believe that's what will lead to our nation's success or failure. And obviously in the last 8 years, we've been heading the wrong direction. All right, I'm going to try to work another call here. Let's go to Nebraska where Lance is on the line. Lance, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks, Tony. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate everything you're doing on Washington Watch. I support you, brother, so keep up the good work.
Thank you.
I definitely agree with you that the media and the left and liberals are just doing everything they can to discredit Trump and conservatives and try to, get Trump impeached. I think Trump, he and conservatives, they threatened the liberal gains, with abortion and censorship of free speech and the GLBT agenda and all that. So I think they're just doing everything they can to try to attack Trump and discredit him, because it's undermining their efforts to, have control and with that agenda for the country. So
that's a perfect analysis, Lance. You're absolutely right. But here's what has to happen. We have to not believe them. What they are trying to do, okay, what they're trying to do is drive a wedge between the president and those who support him or supported him. Now, I will tell you, I've said this to the White House, I will support you when you're right. I will speak the truth. When you're wrong, I will tell you first, but I'm also going to tell our supporters, the Christian community. So I will tell you when the administration gets it wrong. And we need to speak to them and encourage them to do the right thing. But what the media, mainstream media, wants to do is to discourage all of you out there listening to this program thinking, wow, I thought we had a chance. Look, the stuff that's actually happening is remarkable. There are some very good things that are happening. Now, a lot of it's moving at a glacier pace. I'd like to see more. Not everything that's happening is good. But what the Democrats and liberals are trying to do is bottle everything up, make this president fail, and cause his supporters to become discouraged and disheartened and to walk away from him. And that will guarantee his failure. We can't do it. We can't do it. Now, again, doesn't mean we're cheerleaders, but we're supporters. We need to pray for the president, encourage him to do the right thing. When he doesn't do the right thing, we encourage him to get it right. All right, folks, sorry I didn't get to the rest of the calls, but Lord willing, we'll be back again tomorrow night and we'll take your phone calls then. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians chapter 6. Good instruction. When you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.